listen to what it was originally like. That's Colony. And then coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be taking a listen to another X-1 production of Almost Human. So that's what we're going to be taking a listen to tonight. Sit back, relax, find somewhere comfortable, and begin your weekend here with us with a little bit of spoken word entertainment.
Do you like sports?
Are you looking for a way to give back to your community? Right to Play is an international organization that empowers kids through sports.
Here at UBC, our volunteers work to provide equal opportunity for sport to children in the Vancouver area.
We raise money to support Right to Play's global initiatives because we believe that
when children play, the world wins.
Check us out on our Facebook page and get involved today so that kids can be kids.
Countdown for blast off. X minus 5, 4, 3, 2, X minus 1, fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future. Adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, presents Tonight's story, Colony, by Philip K. Dick.
The existence of Planet Blue, the fourth in orbit around a G-type sun somewhere in the Aldebaran sector, was predicted by spectroscopic analysis and spatio-mathematic equations some 50 years before an exploring mission was dispatched to it. The research team, under Commander Stella Morrison of the Colonial Administration, went into orbit around Planet Blue at 0700 standard sidereal time. Authorized procedures were followed.
Aerial photography completed, Commander.
Anything show on the plates?
Well, Masterson was suspicious of these lines towards the poles, but the angles seem to be coincidence.
They're not artifacts.
Glacial faults. Geological survey reports no volcanism. Mm-hmm. The launch is back. Dodge has a landing site pinpointed. Preliminary atmospheric tests look good. There's a 0.7 bulge in oxygen, but it's just enough to make you feel good. Looks like an open-air job. No pressure suits or condenser masks.
Well, that's precisely what they thought on Centauri 1. And the whole expedition was wiped out by spores.
Of course, I was assuming a favorable biocheck.
Mm-hmm.
Preliminary photographic survey, Mr. Wood.
Thank you, Dodds.
You want them played back here? We haven't transcribed the tape.
If you please, Lieutenant.
393. Al, pipe the photo tapes up here on 324.
Looks like a green world, all right. Punch up the tape, if you please, Lieutenant.
All orbital checks proved positive. The atmosphere and gravity Earth normal to three places on the Grayson scale. And the exploratory research ship, lowered itself by the Meyerson-Lay atmospheric skip method, came into a stall tail landing just before sunset on a day marked in the logs as Planet Fall Zero. The hatches remained sealed as a two-mile perimeter was scanned by direct instrumentation. Major Lawrence Hall of Biosurvey reported EEG sweeps to the bridge.
Of course, it isn't conclusive. We've run into life forms that didn't broadcast a brainwave at all. The Gryllodon lizard on Ganymede. Skull acted as an effective shielding due to a heavy lead constituent in the body chemistry.
Major Hall, I am not interested in a lecture on extraterrestrial zoology. Is there or is there not life within the range of your instruments?
Well, I'm sorry, Stella. The readings show no electrical brain activity whatsoever, and that covers life down to the level of invertebrates. There may be a few worms turning out there, and unless they're thinking awfully hard about something, we wouldn't pick them up.
Well, thank you. I want preliminary drones out for sampling. How long do you think that will take?
Well, a thorough job, take about 2 weeks.
I have a schedule, Major. How long till you can give me a protective Schedule C clearance?
2 days. And I ought to check airborne spores and microorganisms.
Carry on, Major.
All right, Stella. I'll let you know if I turn up any, special diseases on Planet Blue.
Drone sample missiles were dispatched at sunrise. Air scoops, ground samplers, and vegetation choppers returned to base, and the bio team instituted full prescribed tests. Immediately identifiable airborne dangers were ruled out. Outside of the possible allergenic action of pollens, Planet Blue was ruled safe for normal exploratory procedures, and the real work of the survey was gotten underway.
Here's the morning report, Commander. 4 in sick bay, 3 ordered to light duty.
What happened?
Well, last night was liquor ration.
Oh.
Survey teams out in the field. Bio crew under Major Hall. Agronomy, ecological, geological, and deep map teams out.
Any reports back?
Deep map seems to think there's petroleum over to the north, and agronomy reports if you dropped a seed in this soil, you'd have to jump back to keep from being knocked over by the plant.
Mm-hmm. Sounds pretty good.
Commander, Blue is about as likely a spot for colonization as has been turned up since Harvey's planted in 27.
Well, they'll be glad to hear that in Central. How long do you think until we can send back a clearance?
I've checked with department chiefs. They all estimate about 2 or 3 days more until they're satisfied. All except Bio.
Well, why is Major Hall dragging his feet?
I don't know.
Well, find out. And in the meantime, I'm going to call a staff meeting. Every day we can save on our report is important. If Blue is suitable for colonization, I don't want to waste a minute.
Planetfall plus 3 weeks, all departments had reported favorably except biology. Ecological survey pointed out the difficulty involved in the necessity of importing animal life, but this problem had already been met in the colonization of Gamma 2 and 3, when an entire ecology had been transported in frozen gene banks and fertilized and incubated on the site. Biology, however, still withheld a favorable report.
Look, Larry.
What is the secret, Stella? Cold formality on the bridge and Larry when you're in my lab?
Well, I'm serious. Well, I've just gotten an official query from Central. They want to fish or cut bait on Blue. Your department is the only one holding it up. We're 2 weeks behind schedule.
And the first colony on Vishnu was right on schedule, and 7,000 died of green spot.
That was before the full bio-check technique was worked out.
My dear, do you know how many different microorganisms there are in a cup full of dirt?
I'm not a freshman student of biology.
Oh, dear. And I was hoping I could tempt you into some field work.
Someday, Larry, you're going to make some remark in front of some junior officers or even enlisted personnel, and I'm going to have to call you on it.
Afraid for your dignity, my dear?
Look, I'm in charge of this expedition. My dignity happens to be a function of command, and as such, it's a survival factor.
Ah, well, then, you had better take it easy at officer's mess. You know, I saw two biomates watching you, climbing the ladder to the bridge. Do you know what their affectionate name for you is?
Major Hall. I'm serious. I want a bio clearance as soon as possible.
And you will get it. As soon as possible.
And when will that be?
When I'm satisfied.
Are the bugs here so dangerous that you're afraid of them?
No, on the contrary. We have yet to find the harmful life form.
Well, you didn't report that. If there are no harmful life forms...
No lice. No disease germs. No malignant virus.
Well, then what are you waiting for?
There should be. There should be at least one little fellow who could give you a common cold.
Look, sociology section found no native narcotic plant life. And inasmuch as there is no humanoid life, there is no bootlegging, gambling, immorality, and pornography either. By analogy, that would be a good reason not to colonize. Is that the idiotic logic you're following?
Microbiology is a little different, Stella. And anyway, what is the rush? Blue is something different. There's something peaceful in the air. Why rush to bring picnickers who will drop candy wrappers and fill the pools up with empty beer cans?
Larry, I have a planned board conference in 10 minutes. If you don't bring in some kind of a report by then, I'll have to supersede you under a Section 23.
Ah, yes, that's what happened on Vishnu, isn't it? followed by Greenspot and the wagons to drag the corpses out of the colony streets.
Never mind that, Major. I want a report.
In the biology section lab, Major Lawrence Hall continued to examine tissue samples from lower fauna and flora samples brought in from Planet Blue. He settled a container of prepared slides and flipped the switch on the electron microscope. Major Hall slid the first slide on the stage of the microscope and adjusted the focus knob.
Come on. There you are. All right, come on, kid. Eat something.
The microorganisms, a form of rotifer, displayed none of the characteristics of ferocity and aggression which were normal on several dozen other planets. Presently, however, Major Hall stopped whistling. Inasmuch as the two eyepieces of his microscope twisted suddenly around his windpipe and started to strangle him, Hall tore at them, but they dug relentlessly into his throat, steel prongs closing like the claws of a trap. With a convulsive effort, he managed to break free and fling the microscope from him.
Oh, that's crazy. Better let go of my leg.
He kicked the microscope loose and drew his blaster. As the microscope scuttled away, rolling on its coarse adjustment knobs, he fired. The microscope disappeared in a cloud of metallic particles. The plans board of the research team was assembled in the officer's library. Commander Stella Morrison was outlining plans on a detailed aerial survey map.
This long, flat area is ideal for the actual city. It has an adequate watershed in the hills here, and weather conditions vary sufficiently to give the settlers something to talk about. There are large deposits of various minerals. The colonists can set up their own factories. They won't have to do any importing. Over here is the biggest forest on the planet. If they have any sense, they'll leave it, but if they want to make newspapers out of it, that's not our concern. Now, all reports are in except bio, and I think that before long we'll be getting...
Stella!
Major Hall, may I remind you that when the consul is in session, no one is permitted to interrupt...
You come to my lab.
Look, Hall, if you're not feeling well, you look a little sick.
Yes, well, I should be. My microscope just tried to strangle me.
What?
Oh, I see.
It almost got me, but I blasted it. Well, that's not the worst.
It isn't?
No. The microscope is still there. After I blasted it, I found it under the lab bench, untouched.
Look, Major, you sure you don't need a psych test?
Well, I don't know. I suppose it does sound a little...
You look post-trauma to me.
Huh? Oh.
Well, you're right. Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Commander.
Put Major Hall on psycho report. I think we'll have to proceed to order colonization here without him.
Major Hall proceeded to psych center and inserting his ID card in the robot Neo Rorschach machine, he placed his hands on the contact and activated the search and gestalt circuits. Presently, the green light flashed, indicating tentative diagnosis. Major Hall hit the response key.
Severe disturbance. Instability ratio above 10.
And that's over danger, isn't it?
Yes. 8 is danger. 10 is unusual, especially for a person of your index. Your norm is 4.
Yeah, I know.
I require more data to determine whether this unusual instability ratio is an aberrant reaction or is normal survival oriented.
Well, I can't tell you anymore.
It is illegal to hold back information during a robo-psych test. You will deliberately distort diagnosis, which is punishable by 6 months forfeiture of pay and allowances or such other penalty as a court-martial may direct.
Thanks a heap. Now look, do you record a high degree of unbalance for me?
There is a high degree of psychic disorganization. But what it signifies, or its etiology, I am unable to determine without further data.
Yeah. Okay. Well, just take a tip from me. Stay away from homicidal microscopes.
That is an interesting Freudian slip. You undoubtedly mean homicidal maniacs, not microscopes. This indicates a possible maladjustment in the area of your specialty.
Why don't you go grease your head?
I will consider that suggestion.
Major Hall returned to the biosection lab and tested the atmosphere near the place where he had fired his blast gun at the microscope. The analysis showed a high density of metallic particles colloidally suspended in the air. In a state of confusion, with an emotional distress quotient of at least 0.742, he stripped off his uniform and entered the shower.
Oh.
Oh, well, you can't expect anybody to believe a story like that. I must be off my rocker.
Major Hall stepped out of the shower, reached for one of the towels on the rack. The towel wrapped around his head and yanked him against the wall. Rough cloth pressed over his mouth and nose. He fought wildly, pulling away. All at once, the towel let go. Major Hall crawled out of the shower and proceeded to dress. His belt, heavy canvas with reinforced metal links, tried to get him around the waist and crush him. The belt, being a heavy-duty issue, was strong, and they rolled on the floor until Hall was able to reach his blaster. He threw himself down in a chair to regain his breath. The arms of the chair started to close around him, but this time he was ready.
Major, I don't believe you were announced.
Look, Commander, Stella.
You're armed. You know that regulations
are... Sorry, Stella, this is important.
Well, what do you want? I have a report here from the robo-psych tester. It says you've hit a ratio of 10 within the last 24-hour period. We've known each other for a long time. Larry, what's happening to
Stella,
you?
Stella, I told you. A little while ago, my microscope tried to strangle me. Then when I was getting out of the shower, a bath towel tried to smother me. I got by that. And while I was dressing, my belt...
Wood, in here on the double.
And I finally blasted that. And then an armchair beside...
Yes, Commander.
Stand by a moment.
Stella, will you listen to me? This is serious. Ordinary objects suddenly turning lethal. Maybe this is what we've been looking for. Maybe this is...
Your microscope tried to kill you.
I told you, its stems got me here around the windpipe.
No one else saw this happen.
No. I blasted it, and then I found it again, perfectly all right.
I see. Wood.
Yes, ma'am.
Get two guards and take Major Hall down to Captain Taylor in sick bay. Have him confined until he can be sent back to Terra for examination.
Listen, Stella...
Sorry, Major. You can't prove this story, and we'll just have to assume it's a psychotic projection on your part. And we can't afford to have any psychotics running around loose on this planet. Wood, carry on.
You'll be all right, Hall. Back on Earth, they can clear a thing like this up in a few weeks.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe I'm just out of my mind.
Here we are. Captain Taylor! Captain Taylor! He should be in. Captain! The hatch isn't locked. Taylor! What's the matter?
That scatter rug is shortened. Turn and pull. But quick before he's crushed, grab that rug.
Now hear this. Now hear this. General alarm. General alarm. Emergency stations. Emergency stations. Condition red. Sidearms will be issued to all personnel. General alarm.
Captain Taylor tells me the rug came from Terra. His grandmother braided it.
That's what I was trying to tell you. It was not the rug that attacked them.
Then what was it?
Something that looked like this rug. And it was something that looked like a microscope that went for me. And the towel and the belt.
You mean there's some life form that can imitate anything?
Yes, it seems so. And it's deadly.
Hey, Charlie, general alarm. Get up out of that sack. Hey, what'd you do with my gloves? Oh. Hey,
Hey, where'd I get two pair? Well, eighty, meeny, money. Mo. One pair of gloves is the same as the other. Hey, these gloves are moving. How do you like that? These fool gloves are going for my blast pistol. Charlie, is this one of your crazy electronic gags? Did you rig my gloves? Hey, look out for that pistol. Look out!
Commander, there's another casualty. Lieutenant Dodd.
What happened?
I don't know. He seems to have shot himself.
Oh, no.
Stella, I think that I have something.
Dodd is dead.
Look, we know that this thing can camouflage itself. It can imitate any object it leans up against. All right, now, listen to this.
Larry, we've got
this to... This is the answer. It's a tape from Captain Galt. He was out on bio survey. He had a throat mic on. He was talking to the operator at base. Now listen to this.
Head for home now. What's this emergency about? Hourglass Stella having hysterics? That's funny. I swear I parked my bucket over by those trees. Well, it's here anyway. Heat up some coffee for me. I'll be in a couple. Yeah, that's funny. There's another bucket. Over by the tree. Where'd this one come from? Let me out. The thing's stuck. It's folding up around me. Joe, get a squad out here. It's... Joe! That's it! I can't get out. It's digestive fluid.
His transmission just stopped. All right, now we're up against some organic form of life, and there should be some way to destroy it. We've already blasted a few, but we don't know how many more there are. Maybe it's an infinitely divisible substance, some kind of protoplasm.
We've had over 12 casualties reported, and there's still 5 teams out in the field.
All right, it's a lethal life form. Now that explains why we found everything else harmless. Nothing could compete with this. We have mimic plants of our own, the twisty slug on Venus, but nothing that goes this far.
It can be killed, though. You said that yourself.
If it can be found. You can't tell. Clothes, rugs, drapes, chairs. We can't tell which is which. We've got to try to find some poison, some spray that will destroy them wholesale.
Oh, no.
What's the matter?
In the corner. I never noticed 2 briefcases over there before. There was only one, I think. How are we going to know?
Shortly after the final casualty report of 30 dead and 12 wounded, Major Hall sealed off the bio quarters and moved in with a team from chem section, all dressed in corrosive resistant suits.
Well, I'll make sure that you've got a tight seal on the neck joint.
What are you going to do, Major?
I've got a combination of hydrogen and arsenic under pressure, arsine gas. That'll give us an idea of how much they've infiltrated. Arsine is deadly to humans, so check your helmets. Now, Sergeant, I don't want any panic blasting. Arsine is inflammable. All right. Release the valve.
As the gas filled the room, the first to go was a filing cabinet, which melted and oozed to the floor, scars and test tubes. The lab was sealed off and a meeting held in Commander Morrison's quarters.
Well, it's protoplasm, all right. You could see that when the mimic shape melted. It was just as big as your hand. It may resemble the simple unicellular protozoa, but gigantic in size compared to microorganisms.
Can we spray them?
Arsine disturbed them. And I suppose enough might kill them. But we haven't got that much. We can't flood the planet. We wouldn't be able to use our blasters, and it's lethal to humans.
We'll have to pull out.
Stella, I'm afraid you don't quite understand. We can't take the chance of carrying them back to the system disguised as a boot or a towel or anything. And they seem to multiply by binary fission. Wouldn't take long to overrun Earth and the rest of the system.
If we stay here, they'll pick us off one by one.
We could have arsine brought in or some other poison, but that would destroy most of the other life on the planet along with it.
Then we'll have to burn the planet clean. Wood.
Yes, ma'am.
Set up a call to system monitor. I'm going to get the unit off here out of danger. After that, we can work out the best way of cleaning off this planet.
You run the risk of taking them back to Terra.
Can they imitate higher life forms? Can they masquerade as humans?
Apparently not. They seem to be limited to inorganic subjects.
Then we'll go back without any inorganic material.
But our clothes, they can imitate the synthetic fibers, belts, gloves, boots.
We're not taking our clothes. We're going back without anything at all.
Oh. Oh, I see.
Get me a beam to central monitor immediately.
The nearest cruiser was 2 light hours away, Captain Daniel Davis commanding. Tight beam communication was established after coordinates were flashed from central monitor.
This is Captain Davis. Can you read me?
I read you. Commander Morrison here. Captain, you are to make a planetfall as soon as possible at coordinates to be supplied you. We are going to board your ship naked.
Naked?
That's right.
That's, well...
When will you land?
At about 1,500 hours, I'd say.
Captain, would it be possible for your men to...
I'll have my crew below decks. We'll land on robot control.
Thank you. Wood, sign off the transmission.
Yes, ma'am.
There was some objection among the enlisted personnel, particularly in the women's quarters. The ship landed at 1,200 hours, 3 hours sooner than expected.
All hands disrobe immediately. All personnel report to field, ready to embark.
So soon? I didn't hear the ship land.
It's there, all right. We'd better go. Larry.
Mm-hmm.
Larry, you go ahead. I'd rather get ready alone.
Parked in the center of the landing field was a cruiser, its hull pitted and dented by meteor strikes. It lay motionless, with no sign of life aboard. A crowd of naked people was moving across the field, blinking in the bright sunlight. Commander Stella Morrison, without any sign of rank apparent, paused on the ramp and spoke to Major Lawrence Hall beside her.
Larry.
Yeah? What is it?
I'm scared.
Why?
I don't know.
Psychological reaction. Forget it. It's a reaction to nudity carried over from early childhood. Come on, we're holding up the line.
Larry, I want to go back.
Stella, look. Now, at least Davis kept his promise. There are no enlisted men lining in the hatches to enjoy the view. You see, it's dark in there. There's nothing to worry about. Come on. Up you go.
The last of the research team filed into the interior of the ship, and the hatch closed behind them. At exactly 1,500 hours, Captain Daniel Davis landed his ship in the center of the field. Automatic relays opened the main lock hatch and lowered the ramp. Davis and his staff sat in the control cabin waiting.
Well, how do you like that? Where are they? Well, maybe the whole fool thing is a joke. We've waited an hour already.
They waited. And waited. But no one came.
You have just heard X-1, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, which this month features Double Dare by Robert Silverberg, which demonstrates that pride can lead to much worse than a fall. It can put a man out on a limb and keep him there. Galaxy Magazine, on your newsstand today. Tonight, by transcription, X-1 has brought you Colony, A story from the pages of Galaxy written by Philip K. Dick and adapted for radio by Ernest Canoy. Featured in the cast were Frederica Chandler, John Larkin, James Stevens, Larry Robinson, Bill Quinn, and Alan Bergman. Your narrator was Norman Rose. Your announcer, Fred Collins. X-1 was directed by Daniel Sutter and is an NBC Radio Network production. Hear music in the Morgan Manor. Russ Morgan, live weekday mornings on NBC Bandstand.
Want more reasons to visit Vancouver's volunteer-run campus and community radio station? How about over $3,000 in prizes to be won? CITR is participating in the first-ever Campus Culture Challenge, where you can check out the cool places on campus, collect stamps for completing challenges, and win amazing prizes. Just find CITR in the Nest and post a photo of yourself in front of the on-air booth and tag us on Instagram at CITR Radio and at Discorder Mag to collect your stamp. For more info and to download the passport, go to welcomecenter.ubc.ca/challenge. And remember, the challenge is open to UBC students, staff, and faculty.
It is a time of magic and change in the realm of Discordia. Discorder's format has once again transformed with the changing of seasons and years. September's Discorder magazine. Experience it anew.
Is there any way that you can be graceful when...
Featuring cover artist Craftition, articles on Wish Kicker, Art Deco, and Hick album reviews for Ramsey and Japanese Girls, and live show reviews of Art Swells, Space Melt, and more. Experience the transformation. Pick up a copy of Discorder at local record stores, venues, and more. Thank you to Discorder's advertisers. Vinyl Records, Return Canada, Rickshaw, Fringe, Zipcar, Astoria, AMS, Don't Argue, Hastings Crossing, BIA, Live Band, The Rio, Shindig, Timber, Neptune, Viv, Unip Hit, Dead Offensive, Flemish Eye, Volunteer Media. Hold us all together in one. The winter comes.
That sound means South Patrol Time Radio is on the air. Well, here we are again. It's Sci-Fi Friday on South Patrol Time Radio. I'm your host, Brent Abrahamson. Welcome. Will robots become more and more a part of our society as so many futurists predict? We're seeing that already, aren't we? There are robot building competitions in our time. Who could build the best, most realistic machine? We even have a name for the science, robotics. But where will it all end? If we are creating machines in our own image, will they eventually seem almost human? Today we blast off to get a glimpse of the future as South Bridge Old Time Radio presents X-1 and the episode titled Almost Human. Fasten your seatbelts. The countdown is starting now.
Countdown for blast off. X-5, 4, 3, 2. X-1. Fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on 1,000 maybe worlds.
X-1.
Tonight's story, Almost Human. By Robert Bloch. Have you heard of the new science called cybernetics? It concerns man's efforts to develop a perfect thinking machine, a robot electronic brain that will not only do man's work, but even do his thinking for him. A robot that is almost human. No, it's not impossible at all. In fact, one day, something like this may happen. A tall, suave gentleman in a black raincoat will walk down the street until he reaches a shuttered, isolated house. And then he will slowly mount the front steps, push the doorbell.
Just a minute. I said just a minute. Hold your horses. What do you think you'd...
Good evening, my dear.
Duke, why did you come here?
Curiosity, darling. I've been thinking of what you told me at our chance meeting last week.
Duke, you promised me.
I decided to come and take a look for myself. Where is the professor?
In his study.
Where's Junior?
In the nursery.
The nursery? How quaint. And you, I take it, are Junior's nursemaid?
I help the professor.
Tell him he has a guest.
Ah, Duke, he's a nice old guy. Don't
tell
do
him,
it.
Darling.
All right.
Yes? What is it, Miss Williams?
Professor Blassman, a gentleman...
Here? I don't understand. I gave orders no one was to be admitted to the house.
He insisted.
Very well. Wait here. I'll get rid of him. Sir?
Professor Blassman, I've come to see Junior.
Junior? There must be some mistake. There are no children in this house. I don't...
Professor, what you feel pressing against your belly is the muzzle of a .45 caliber pistol. Now, shall we visit Junior?
How? What do you know about him?
I know everything. Shall we go inside?
I warn you.
On the contrary, I warn you.
Very well. This way. This is the nursery.
Where is Junior?
In the next room. Behind the door with the panel in it.
Very considerately furnished. Another goose figures on the walls. Blackboard, toy blocks. Panda, bunny rabbit doll. Touching. All right, let's see him.
You can look through the panel.
Mary had a little lamb.
Oh, wow. Who'd have believed it? Junior isn't very pretty, is he?
I was not concerned with aesthetics.
Why do you hide him? Is he dangerous?
The world is not yet ready for such a thing. Besides, I must study. As you can see by his play, he is very young, hardly out of the cradle. I am educating him.
With nursery rhymes?
The brain is undeveloped. It must learn its behavior patterns like any infant.
You call that 8-foot monster an infant?
Physically, of course, he'll never change. He is built of chrome, steel, and glass. But his brain, that is my wonderful instrument. Unlike a human, he has no heritage, no basic instincts such as love or hate. These he has yet to learn. In some respects, he is like a blank tablet. What is written upon the tablet will remain.
You mean he has no feelings?
He will learn quickly. And now, if your curiosity is satisfied, I trust you will keep my secret. If anyone discovers...
Open the door.
I beg your pardon.
The door, Professor.
Very well. Junior, come here.
What a monster. He talks?
Yes. Mentally, he's about 6 years old now. What is it, son?
Who is that man, Papa?
Let me handle this. You may call me Duke, son. I've come to see you.
That's nice. Nobody ever comes to see me except Lola. Play with me, Duke.
Certainly, Junior. And Professor.
Yes?
While we're playing, you can have Lola and Miss Williams prepare my room.
Your room?
I forgot to tell you. I've decided to stay until the climate changes and I can go out again. Meanwhile, I'll have a chance to play blocks with Junior. Understand?
I begin to understand. You are hiding from the law.
As you wish. All right, Junior. Your move.
Let's build a bridge.
I have a better idea, Junior.
What?
Let's build a coffin.
A coffin? I don't know that word.
Then I'll teach you, Junior. I can see the professor has been neglecting the moral side of your education very sadly.
You shouldn't have come here, Duke.
Why not, my dear? Afraid of me?
No, afraid of myself. You're no good for me. You've always brought me trouble.
Except this time. This time it will be different, darling. This time I'll bring you diamonds.
Duke, what have you been teaching that thing?
Nothing, honey. I've just been playing with them. Very educational.
I don't believe you.
What's bothering you, Lola?
Today when I walked in there, he said to me, I know how to kill people, Lola. I'll kill you if you want me to.
He's learning very quickly.
Duke, I'm scared of that thing. It's unholy, a machine that acts like a human with a voice grinding at you, saying things you'd expect from a child.
You dislike him so much. Why did you take this job as his nursemaid?
Because I wanted to start over again. I answered an ad. The professor didn't ask questions. I would have been all right, too, if you hadn't come along.
I'm very glad you did tell me, darling. Because Junior is going to make us two very successful people.
Ha!
Like any child, Junior listens to what he's told.
Duke, I don't know what you're teaching, Junior. But I can guess. And it isn't right. It's evil.
Now, write on the blackboard, Junior. My name is Junior.
My name is Junior.
People are evil.
People are evil.
Evil must be destroyed.
Evil must be destroyed.
The professor is evil.
The professor is evil.
The professor must...
What are you doing?
I warned you to keep out of the nursery, Professor.
Go away.
You don't even remember me.
I know you. You are the professor. You want to keep me as your slave. You didn't tell me that people are evil.
People are not evil.
People are evil. They must be destroyed.
Stop it!
I am not a child any longer.
No, you're not a child. You're a monster.
Junior?
Yes, Duke.
The time is now, Junior.
Yes, Duke.
Keep away from me. Junior! Junior, don't do it! Listen to me! Junior, listen to me!
I did it, Duke.
Duke, I...
Horrible.
Can we go away now, Duke? I don't like it here anymore.
Duke, why did you do it?
The professor was in the way. We'll have to move very quickly now, Lola.
Oui.
Of course, if you don't plan to come along, just say so. I can have Junior write your name on his blackboard.
Where are we going?
We'll go to Charlie's.
With Junior?
With Junior.
Oh, Duke, you can't. I'm afraid.
Relax, my dear. The Duke has great plans for you two. Wouldn't you like to be independently wealthy for the rest of your life? No cares, no worries? Just good times and fine clothes all the time?
The only way you get that way is by inheriting a million.
Not when you have a fella like Junior around.
I'm still afraid of him.
Junior wouldn't hurt you. You wouldn't hurt Lola, would you, Junior?
I like Lola. She's pretty.
You see? He thinks you're pretty. Junior's growing up. Sit down, Charlie.
Sure, Duke.
Lola and I are going to hide out here for a while. We need some help.
Listen, Duke, I'm trying to keep the cops away.
Sure, sure. Now listen to me. I need a casing job done.
Oh. Sure, sure, Duke.
You know the armored truck service?
Sure.
I want to know when they take the Acme deposits from Boston to Worcester.
Duke, you ain't thinking of a payroll truck, are you? They got cannons on those trucks. They travel in pairs. You couldn't get near one.
I asked you to do a casing job, Charlie.
Sure, Duke. Anything you say.
Find out what time they passed the narrowest and most deserted stretch of road.
Well, if you're going to pull a job like that, you'll need 50 men. You want me to get some of the boys?
I won't need anybody. I've got somebody.
Where?
He's out in the car.
Oh, what's his name, Duke? Anybody I know?
His name is Junior.
Junior? I don't know any Junior.
You will, Charlie. You will. Sam?
Well, thanks, Al. Whew, it sure gets hot in these armored trucks, huh?
Well, you'll get used to it.
How much we haul in this time?
About $250,000.
Brother, could I use a hunk of that?
Who couldn't?
What's your first stop?
Acme National Bank. Then we unload a payroll of the Bronson Watch plant. Hey, what's that up ahead?
It looks like something shiny on the road.
Throw up your spotlight.
Right. Smokes, you see what I see? That looks like a mechanical traffic cop.
About 8 feet tall.
Standing right in the middle of the highway. Maybe it's a Halloween gang, huh? Guess they're trying out robot traffic cops. Can you get past him?
I don't know. We'll have to slow down. Get on that gun, Sam. Let's take no chances.
Right.
I'll give it the horn.
Don't budge.
Where's our escort truck?
Pulled up right behind us.
Thing won't move.
Sure looks like something out of Buck Rogers, don't it?
That's a heck of a note blocking traffic like that. I'll have to try and get past it. Here it goes.
Holy smokes, it's moving. Hell, it's coming toward us.
Get on that gun. Give it a blast.
Bullets are bouncing right off it. It's still coming. Hell, back up.
I can't. The other truck's right behind us.
Hell, it's lifting its arm. It's going to smash our window.
Jeez. If I hadn't have seen it with my own eyes. Duke, we gotta quit this.
What's the matter, Charlie? Getting shaky?
The papers say he killed all four drivers. Listen, Duke, that robot is hot. We gotta get rid of it.
Stop your blubbering. One more good robbery.
You ain't gonna pull another one.
Why not?
Count me out, Duke. The law's gonna track that baby.
Are you quite finished, Charlie?
You got no heart, Duke. You're like Junior, all steel inside.
And you're just a big, warm-hearted slob. I suppose flowing with the milk of human kindness.
Well, I got nerves. I can't stand that thing, the way it looks at you with that iron face and clanking around all the time. Listen, here it comes.
Hello, Junior.
Hello, Duke.
I've been talking to Charlie.
Yes, Duke.
You know what I think, Junior? I think Charlie's yellow. You know what happens to people who turn yellow, don't you?
Yes, Duke.
Tell him.
They're evil. We have to destroy them.
You see, Charlie? Junior doesn't like people who sing to the police.
Duke, wait a minute. You know I'd never turn stooly or anything like that. I never sang to the coppers in my life. You can count
Junior.
On me. I don't
yes,
want no trouble
Duke.
With you.
Stop him.
I wouldn't...
Yes, Duke. I stopped him, Duke.
All right. Take him down to the cellar.
Duke, that noise. Charlie! Junior, put him down.
Take him down to the cellar, Junior.
Yes, Duke.
Duke.
Relax, darling. Stop shaking.
Duke, we can't stay here. Charlie's going to be missed. He's got friends. Now we'll have the gangs after us, too.
Oh, come on now. Don't worry, darling. The Duke will take care of everything.
Where are you going?
Out to a travel agency to get some tickets. You and I are going to take a trip, Lola.
You're leaving me alone here?
Junior's here, too.
It's just it. It's being alone with that thing. Duke, I got the jitters.
Now, don't you worry. In 48 hours, you and I will be on our way to Switzerland with $500,000 worth of loot.
What about Junior?
Junior will be... taken care of.
How can you get rid of him?
Junior will do anything I say. So I'll merely have him get into the furnace and sit there while I fill it with oil and set fire to it. Too bad the professor couldn't have stayed around to see him growing up. He's almost a man now, Junior is. but not quite as clever as a man.
He'll find that out after he steps into the furnace.
Get rid of Junior now, Duke, before you leave.
There's no time. I'll be back about 8.
Duke, please.
And be nice to Junior while I'm gone. Don't show him you're afraid of him. Goodbye, darling.
Goodbye, Duke.
Lola.
What, Junior?
Oil me.
Can't you wait till Duke gets back? He always oils you.
I want you to oil me, Lola.
All right.
I like you to oil me, Lola.
Yes, Junior.
Lola, do you like Duke?
Certainly.
Do you like me?
Well, you know I do, Junior.
Lola?
What?
Who do you like best, me or Duke?
I like you both, Junior.
Yes, but who do you love?
What do you know about love, Junior?
In the books, man and woman love.
No.
Lola?
What?
Do you think anyone will ever love me?
Maybe. Some women can fall in love with anything, Junior. Even with something like Duke.
Why, Lola?
I don't know. Maybe because... Well, as long as she thinks her man is the smartest and the strongest...
I see.
Where are you going?
To wait for Duke.
He won't be home for a while.
I'll sit in the hall and wait for him.
All right, Junior.
I want to be alone and think.
About what?
I read in a book today it was bad to kill people. What does that mean? Bad.
Bad. I don't know, Junior. I guess it's just a word.
Lola?
Hello, Duke.
Oh, it's you, Junior. Why are you sitting in the dark?
I was waiting for you, Duke.
Well, now that's a good boy, Junior.
Lola oiled me.
That's nice. I tell you what, Junior. I've got a little job for us down in the cellar. Let's go down there.
Now, Duke.
Right now, Junior.
All right, Duke. Are we going away soon, Duke?
Yes, Junior. We're going away.
What's in the cellar, Duke?
A little surprise for you, Junior. You'll find out.
For the latest news. And now, a brief interlude of recorded dance music.
Duke? Is that you, Duke? I thought I heard Duke come in.
He came in.
Where is he?
Down in the cellar.
What's he doing?
Nothing.
Did he say he'd be up soon?
No.
Maybe you better go down and get him.
He's dead.
Oh, no. No, he isn't dead.
You said the woman loves the strongest and the smartest. Well, I'm stronger and smarter.
But you aren't human.
I'm almost human, Lola.
No. No, stay away.
Lola.
Don't touch me. Those metal paws, no.
I love you, Lola.
No. No.
I love you.
No. No.
No.
The last thing she heard was the robot's harsh voice, droning it over and over again.
I love you. I love you. I love you.
And strangely enough, it did sound almost human.
Your cell phone already has an FM receiver chip installed in it, but major Canadian telecommunication and mobile companies have blocked access to this free system to listen to the radio in favor of charging for data streaming. With access to the FM chip, your phone can still receive broadcasts and updates during an emergency, even if the cell towers are down. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
A show dedicated to playing psychedelic music from parts of the spectrum, rock, pop, electronic, as well as garage and noise rock. Sundays, 5 to 6 p.m. at CITR 101.9 FM.
And you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM. That will do for this evening and Scald's Hull. Coming up in a moment or so, we'll have Canada Post Rock with John. And from all of us here at UBC at CITR 101.9 FM, please enjoy your weekend.
Your cell phone already has an FM receiver chip installed in it, but major Canadian telecommunication and mobile companies have blocked access to this free system to listen to the radio in favor of charging for data streaming. With access to the FM chip, your phone